1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Tens of thousands of airline travelers have been stranded worldwide because of a massive technology outage.
They canceled a flight. They're trying to figure out how to get people's luggage back to them, and it's a really big airport, so we're just waiting.
The outage happened when a security company called CrowdStrike performed an update that affected Microsoft systems. CrowdStrike's George Kurtz on CNBC.
To be clear, it was not a cyber attack. It wasn't anything related to that. It was a content bug or update that we sent out, that we identified, and we rolled back.
New York Times technology reporter Adam Satteriano.
It's wild that one security update can have such a ripple effect, but it shows how interconnected and fragile a lot of the technology infrastructure that's used around the world is.
Hospitals, banks, and media companies have also been impacted by the global outage. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammie McCormick.
On the next Midday Magazine, we wrap up the week with State Senator Patrick Teston in Part 1 and the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce in Part 2. Listen every Monday through Friday, 4 to 5, right here at WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell in Milwaukee. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are leaving the RNC united behind Donald Trump. State Party Chair Brian Schimming says it's in stark contrast to Democrats and President Biden.
The Democrats are a party in disarray. They are a party in panic.
Democrats, meanwhile, won't let voters forget about Project 2025. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Trump, J.D. Vance, and their MAGA allies' agenda to destroy our democracy.
Vice President Kamala Harris is set to visit Milwaukee Tuesday. It would be her fifth visit to Wisconsin this year. It comes as more and more leading Democratic politicians and donors are calling for President Biden to step down from the campaign. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming notices and meetings in the listening area for Monday, July 22nd. Absentee voting will be administered at care facilities in Wisconsin Rapids starting next week. Special voting deputies appointed by the City of Wisconsin Rapids will be administering absentee voting for the residents of the facilities for the partisan primary. Any qualified elector who is unable or unwilling to appear at the polling place on Election Day may request to vote an absentee ballot. In Portage County, the Board of Adjustment will meet at 4 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. The 58th annual Wisconsin State Ski Show kicked off yesterday at Red Sands Beach on Lake Wazeecha. The individual events competition happened last night. The team competitions take place tonight through Sunday. Our local team, the Aqua Skiers, will compete tonight. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks taking on the Phoenix Suns in Las Vegas. Milwaukee's 0-3, looking for their first win in summer league play. Pete Dominguez is serving as the Bucks head coach and was asked, how does their rookie first round pick, A.J. Johnson, look so far?
The kid is, he has an infectious personality. He's someone that I think everyone, top to bottom in the organization, enjoys being around. And he just loves being on the court. He loves working. He understands that the learning curve, especially at his position, playing a lot of point guard, is going to be steep. He hasn't been phased at all, and I think he's shown the right attitude, and obviously his confidence is where we need it to be. I don't think it's going to be an issue for him. I think that he's someone that you don't want to stunt his growth by kind of cutting back what you're giving to him. I think you just give him as much as you can and see what he could do with it.
Baseball, the Brewers head to Minnesota to face the Twins tomorrow night. In golf, Garrett Jones of Madison, the winner of this year's State Amateur Golf Championship. The 39-year-old shot an even par, good enough for the win at the Legend at Merrill Hills near Waukesha. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Sunny and summery today as high temperatures comfortably flirt with 80 degrees. Alongside calm winds, a few clouds build in this afternoon, but we stay dry. In fact, scattered showers and thunderstorm chances hold off until Sunday afternoon and roll into the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 76.
Camping, America's pastime. The fresh air, the lack of phone signal, and the ability to relax with a cold beer by the fire. Then the next day, not the best.
Take the day to recover and call El Cafe and order tacos to go. Choice of chicken, beef, chorizo, topped with lettuce, cheese, and pico for only $2 a taco. Add french fries for $1. Call El Cafe 715-887-2233 for a meal the whole family will love and a day of recovery for you.
Luann Goetz is your local Wisconsin Rapids Medicare specialist. For over 27 years, she's been helping individuals find the right Medicare coverage and is dedicated to ensuring you get the best plan for your needs. If you're nearing Medicare age or considering a switch, let Luann guide you through the process. With her personalized service and commitment to your health, you are in safe hands. Your Medicare peace of mind starts with Luann Goetz. Call 715-424-4393 today or visit ticinsurance.com.
Maggie Dawn.
Folks, I'm taking a little bit of a vacation, but do not worry, you'll be in excellent hands with Matt Rothschild and Jim Santel as your guest hosts. Stay tuned.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, TGIF, July 19th, 2024. A great day to be a Wisconsinite here at Milwaukee. We are done with the Republican National Convention, and we are here right now for the moment, high atop a wonderful structure here on the University, or rather the Marquette University campus here. Behind me, if you're watching on the stream, you can see the beautiful cathedral, the beautiful architecture that is Marquette University. A beautiful spot, a beautiful day, and we're going to bring you a few minutes of today's show, and then we're going to go into a rerun of last week. Mr. Zommers, who is back in Madison, high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers, how are things in the old home studio there?
Well, most people who are normally in Madison are back at the headquarters at this point. So yes. We've got, as I mentioned, Luke Mathers is back, Terry Bell is back. And so it's nice to get to see some people. We miss you here, Todd, sure. But we'll see you again soon.
Yes, at some point I'll return. So here's what happened, and this is nothing but if not entertaining story. There was a small snafu at the old Republican National Committee headquarters at Panther Arena, where people have been absolutely lovely for the entire week. But there was some sort of snafu where I did not receive the information that, as it turns out, you had to be done broadcasting at the RNC, probably about five blocks from where I'm at right now, by noon today. So we had to pack up last night and kind of then come in early this morning. And again, my crack family / production staff, my sister Heather and brother-in-law Mike, came down and helped me pack up. In fact, Heather is on the headset. She's running the board here on location. Heather, how'd you sleep last night?
Well, here's the deal. We had a fantastic location. Yeah. We were inside the perimeter.
You were right next to Fiserv.
Our apartment building had a walkway to Fiserv.
Right.
Like, I don't even know how that happened. But
well, Mike, your husband
is like a magician when it comes to reservations.
He is. He should be a reservationist.
He should, seriously. HR is kind of his thing.
Yeah.
So we had this great little apartment there, little mm-hmm. Verbo spot, and then we're watching the stuff on CNN, because obviously we didn't have any credentials to go anywhere, so right. We were a little bit confined there. That's fine. We did get into a hotel for a meal, and just sidebar, I was in the same bar as Eric Trump.
You looked up, and you were like, what, 2 feet from Eric Trump?
He was right behind me, and I was like, oh. So anyway, so we got dinner.
But you did not say hi.
No, I didn't. All right. All I mean, right, he good. Had his people. I didn't really feel the need to shake his hand. Like, I don't.
Right.
I'm okay.
Not your deal.
No, I was okay. But yeah, so last night, after the whole shebang was done, we thought, oh, it might be busy people leaving. The people leaving really were no issue.
Right.
At about, I don't know, 1:30, we started hearing the beep, 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 and like large construction things. They were starting to remove all of the concrete barriers and all of the blockades, which God bless them. That's probably the best time to do it, right? I have no problem with that. But we just didn't realize. It's like buying a house and not realizing you live next to a train station.
Right.
We didn't, which, by the way, we also did 25 years ago.
So you would think by now you were used to the noise.
But we do love the train.
But you do love the train.
Yeah, I love the train, but...
So that was your evening. I, of course, was in the lovely accommodations of Kristen Bry and her wonderful husband, Mike, who let me stay in their guest room this week here in Milwaukee. So I stayed there. I came over early. I scouted out. I said, okay, we can get our stuff out of Panther Arena. And I'm like, well, I want to do something to showcase Milwaukee because Milwaukee is a great city. And I thought, well, what better than to showcase Marquette University? One of the great things about Milwaukee, my great friend Ryan Lee, a graduate of the great Marquette Law School here, our friend Charles Franklin, Professor Charles Franklin, a professor here, head of the Marquette Law School poll. I thought, well, this will be great. We'll focus on Marquette a little bit, cheer them on. In fact, on my way from, I parked here in this parking structure, by the way, on Scott Klug's recommendation. Thanks, Scott. And it was a great spot to park. And then I walked, as I'm going out of the parking structure this morning to walk into Panther Arena, who do I pass but Marquette University men's basketball coach Shaka Smart. Just hang on. And Heather is a big Shaka Smart fan.
I adore Shaka Smart from right? from his early coaching days when he showed up.
VCU, yeah.
Right, VCU.
To the Final Four.
Right. Like that hooked me in right there. So I was very excited that you saw it, sad that I missed it.
Yeah, and he was talking on the phone, so I didn't say hi. So I scouted things out. Mike and Heather met me. We got the thing all packed, and then we thought, well, we'll come up here on the roof. And again, as you're looking at the shot here online, you have the beautiful cathedral, the iconic architecture here that is on all the Marquette University stuff. I thought this would be great. And I have one tent. You know, I don't have a civic media tent. I mean, that would be helpful. But I have a UW Badger tent because both of my godsons went to Wisconsin. And so that's the only tent I have. So we set that up to kind of protect the equipment and whatnot while we do the show. Well, lo and behold, putting anything that has a motion W up on the Marquette University turns out to be not a good idea.
Not the best.
And so that sent a barrage. We had two policemen up here and a cop, which were very nice. They were very, very nice and took my name and ran me. Here's the big news of the day. Apparently, no warrants out for my arrest.
So, good to know.
So
good to know.
That's good news. So that's always very good news. And the cops could not have been nicer. And then we had a gentleman come over from the marketing and communications department.
We have Kevin here with us.
Kevin
today.
Is here with us. And very nice and very kind. But as it turns out, I need some sort of a permit in order to broadcast from this fine campus. So,
I think it's more of an issue of RNC because he did offer in a couple of weeks if you want to come
back. Exactly.
So understandable.
So it's, I want to apologize to Marquette University and the fine people of Marquette because I did not do my job. I did not go through the proper channels. And so they probably shouldn't even let me do this portion of the show, but they were kind enough to say, well, you could go on and do the first segment of the show, but then we got to shut it down, you understand, soon. So we're gonna shut it down at 19 after, and then we're going to get out of here and be respectful. So then what we're going to do is we're going to play a rerun of last week's show. And so we had a fine show last week. Mr. Zomers will be there. He'll be pushing the buttons. And we'll do a best of. And then we'll be back on Monday with all new material and all new guests as well. So that's what's going on. And it's nothing if not a good story, as it turns out.
And Kevin, as kind as he is offering other locations. But I just don't know that we can tear down and put back up.
I think
that.
It's just a matter of logistics. Yeah. But we appreciate it. We appreciate the great folks at Marquette. And again, it's all on me because I'm an idiot and I didn't get a permit. You know? And also probably not the best idea to put a Motion W tent up on the Marquette University campus. Not the brightest thing, but that's all I had, you understand. That's all I had. I would love a Marquette University tent. I'm quite frankly, I like a Civic Media tent. But all I got, all I could do is work with what I got, you understand. That's what we did. That's what we're doing. Nobody is being arrested, thank God. Kevin, are we getting fined? There's no fines involved. So I don't get arrested and I don't get fined. So good news all the way around.
Unlike the parking tickets, yeah.
Unlike the parking tickets, right?
We're not in Green Bay.
I'm not in Green Bay, so I don't get fined here in the lovely city of Milwaukee. We'll come back and do another show with all the proper permits at one time. And the mistake I made, quite frankly, was I reached out to our old friend Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School. Paul, he's in Madison today. Now, I have a feeling that if I had Charles with me, perhaps he could have sorted this all out, but he's not here. He's duly polling. And here I'll tell you this, in the Marquette Law School poll, zero people at Marquette want me here. At least not with a Badger tent. They want me out of here. And that's totally understandable. See, I'll simply say this. Marquette University is a great university. It's part of what makes Wisconsin great. As I said, I have friends who graduated from Marquette Law School here, and they do great work in the city of Milwaukee. It's a beautiful campus. Those watching on the stream, you can see behind me. And, of course, Shaka Smart has the men's basketball team right back in the thick of things in the NCAA tournament. Made all the way to the Sweet 16, Heather,
yeah.
This year?
Yeah, he's in it.
He's in it to win it, and I'm sure they're going to do a great job in the years ahead. Let me just touch on a couple of things before we get out of here and get into a rerun. First of all, the speech last night at Fiserv Forum by the former President Donald Trump. Long, 92 minutes, Mr. Zommers,
yeah.
And boring. I would say it does not fire people up. And just filled with, it was a half an hour of my bleeding ear. and then it was, you know, basically, we hate trans people and, immigrants. So, that not exactly an inspiring speech, in my opinion.
Indeed, not very inspiring to the people on the scene. According to, I watched some newscasts after, including NBC, mm-hmm. who said they saw, quote, in the first half, I saw a lot of wet eyes. In the second half, I saw some closed eyes, unquote. People on the scene were falling asleep.
Good.
So then they dropped a bunch of balloons to try and energize things, and it didn't work.
I will say this. I am a big critiquer of balloon drops. I will tell you, in my opinion, the best part of the speech last night, the balloon drop. I would say the balloon drop, Heather, we talked about this. 9 out of 10, maybe 9.5 out of 10. The only thing I can say they did not do is multiple sizes of balloons.
Yeah, and as they fell, right, it was just like this gentle flow. They didn't dump them all at once.
Right.
It was timed out well.
They did it right.
They had the little gold balloons.
Of all the things of RNC this week, I feel like that was the winner.
Me too. I think the balloon drop was the big winner of the RNC. Of course, the other big news of last night going into today, multiple reports. Now, we talked about this on the wrap-up show last night from 7 to 8 with our news director, Terry Bell. By reporting that I have done independently with both my sources in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere in the Democratic and Republican side of the aisle, all indications are pointing to a likely withdrawal of President Biden from the Democratic ticket. It could, keyword could, come as soon as this weekend. Most places or most people that we're talking to are saying certainly within a week. But the caveat is this. Even though many people around him, many staffers, many sources are saying this is all but a done deal, ultimately it comes down to Joe Biden. And there are other reports saying that even though you have people like Nancy Pelosi now, Barack Obama kind of indirectly saying it's time to choose someone else, that President Biden is digging in right now in Delaware as he recovers from COVID. So that's all. We're going to be standing by the way, over the weekend. If something breaks over the weekend, we'll come back with a special report. And we're going to come back with a best of. Again, my apologies to Marquette University. I'm sorry. We are Marquette. We'll be back here another time. Have a great weekend. A best of is on its way. It's the Todd Allball Show right here. Mr. Zommers, take care of yourself. Thanks for doing work back at home.
And you too.
Keep banging your drum. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio. Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to a best of the Todd Olbaugh Show from last week Friday, as Todd was getting set to kick off the coverage of the RNC.
Republican National Convention from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Panther Arena, home of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Panther men's and women's basketball team. We are talking here on Wisconsin Media Row to the guy who literally had the idea to set this all up, and we thank him, Matt DeFore. He is the State Bureau Chief at Wisconsin Watch. And Matt, you were talking about this is not your first rodeo. You started out as these other conventions, and it was at 04 where another person was supposed to interview Stephen Colbert, and she's on a plane out of town. She calls you and asks you to do it.
Yeah, I got to do that. Just as background too, I was an intern for the Associated Press, and what I basically amounted to was I wore like a three-piece suit and tie, mm-hmm. and was emptying trash cans. That was my experience.
That's internships, right?
It was the total. So I've come a long way.
You've come a long way, my friend. Yeah.
But not to be daunted by my low status there. I got a chance to do this interview with Stephen Colbert for a documentary, in his office. It was just a surreal experience. You go in, and his like he had a wall of just like Lord of the Rings memorabilia, really? and dolls and toys and things. Oh. I remember he was during the interview playing with this a cave troll like figurine, like, and I was
during
like
the interview.
Yeah, I was like, is this gonna mess up with? Or is this gonna be delightful?
Right.
But it was a good interview. My big thing was that I was like asking him all these tough questions because I'm this budding journalist. And so I ask him like, you know, what is a protest? And he gives an answer. And I was like, well, what is the Daily Show? I was asking him like, is the Daily Show a form of protest? Oh. And he kind of said no at first. He was kind of like, no, not really. And then I was like, what was a protest? And he gave me an answer. And the answer was basically like, you know, there's a performance element to it. There's a political message to it. There's a going against the grain. And by the end of the interview, after I'd asked him all these questions, I basically came back to that first question about, is the Daily Show a form of protest? And he was like, the Daily Show is a passive-aggressive form of protest. And I was like, yeah!
That's great.
I nailed it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then months later, I saw the documentary finally came out, and they didn't include any of that. So.
No. it ended up on the floor? I mean, good God.
There was some Colbert in there, but it was not my triumphant question. So I've now publicly shared it now. So.
But that's a great story because, I mean, it speaks to your investigative side when you're able to talk to people. I've seen you do it with my former bosses. I think what makes, and you to give your opinion, what I would think one of the great, great things about what makes a good reporter is someone who can't or doesn't just stick to questions, but gets their subject to just start talking in a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the failings sometimes when you see these press conferences. I saw it all the time in state government. Mm-hmm. I thought last night's press conference with Joe Biden was a lot of good questions. I think a lot of the questions people had in their minds were asked, mm-hmm. but there is not that attempt to really peel him away from talking points. It's hard to do it, especially when you got other reporters kind of coming in with like foreign policy questions to kind of make it seem like you've asked too many of the really interesting political questions. And that happened all the time in when I was covering Scott Walker, for example. You'd want to like dig in with a question that gets him away from a talking point. and other reporters don't have the time for it. They just want to know the top line. They want to know what it's almost like they just need to figure out what the talking point is, and that's their story for the day.
Do you think that that is propelled in part because of the changing dynamics, particularly of print, but all media, where there is fewer staff, more stress to get a deadline, to get a story out, to get it published, and so that they literally sometimes don't have time to dig in?
Yeah, you don't have time, but you also have the pressure. As much we talk about like the decline of media and especially the decline of newspapers, I mean, there are a lot of media out there. There's a lot of reporters, and they all have
witness
these
in the other room here.
What I think is unfortunate is that they're often all going for the same story. They're not trying to like. It's not like you have like the environmental reporter and the health reporter and the foreign policy reporter all asking their different categorical questions. Last night at the Joe Biden press conference, you had most of the reporters they're asking about his political future and doing different variations of the same theme. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't go wide enough and you can't go deep enough. So our media has become really shallow.
You posed an interesting question before we went on the air today. We were talking about my show in particular, and you're saying, you asked, do you consider yourself, news, a news or a journalist? And I said, well, I went to University of Wisconsin Platteville Communication School. I have a broadcasting background. I took journalism classes, but Platteville doesn't have a J school per se, like Madison or Northwestern. So I said, no, I've been transparent on this show with our listeners and viewers saying that I'm a news analyst opinion show, talk show, but I apply journalistic standards to my show. Do you think that other people, just viewers in general, look at everyone here assembled, including everybody in Wisconsin Media Row, all as journalists today?
I think a lot of people don't distinguish. They don't do the intellectual exercise to distinguish, because there are people who are citing opinion journalists as journalists or as news. They're, you can read, even if it's credible and well thought out, like a Wall Street Journal opinion piece, it still usually has some kind of a political, ideological bent. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do something with your opinions rather than trying to present facts. But I'll have to admit that, like, even at Wisconsin Watch, when we're presenting facts, we're not just doing it in a vacuum. We're trying to get to a truth.
Yeah.
What we just do is we don't do it in service of one side or the other. We're not trying to help the Republicans or help or hurt the Democrats or either side. We want to know what the truth is. And so if that's the lens that journalists take more often, I think that would be a good thing.
As we wrap up here, a couple more minutes left. At the end of next week, a week from today, and you look back on, in terms of this convention with Wisconsin Media Row, what will you determine to be a success?
I think it's just to make sure that people had a good time, good access. That everyone sort of comes in with a mission. Hopefully everyone does. I'm assuming people come in with some kind of goal, that they are able to achieve that goal. And I'm actually most concerned about making sure Wisconsin Watch meets our goals, because we do have some things we're going to try to do here. Some things for the very first time. We're going to be doing video for the first time. We're trying to launch an audio video component to our what we offer. In fact, we're trying to offer some audio stuff I think Civic Media is interested in using as well, for some of our fact briefs. So yeah, I think as long as people who come here get out of it what they're hoping for is great.
Well, we're going to be here all next week. Terry Bell, our news director at Civic Media, and I are going to have a wrap-up show from 7 to 8, other people joining us. If you want to stop by sometime next week, Matt, we'd love to have you.
All right. Thanks very much for
the invite. Hey, thank you, Matt. And thank you in all sincerity on behalf of all of us at Civic Media, really all of us in Wisconsin Media, for having this idea and shepherding it through. I understand what it's like trying to work with politicians and political people on the other side. It's not always easy, but you stuck to it. And it's going to get really exciting around here really soon to watch all these people come in, all from Wisconsin, and here to cover it for all of our listeners and viewers. So thank you so much for everything.
Always a pleasure.
Hey, really, always a pleasure to have you on the show. The State Bureau Chief of Wisconsin Watch, Matt DeFore, and looking forward to a great next few days here. And a little bit later on the show, we're going to have Peter Rapine on the second hour at 1:30. With wacky headlines, Matt. Actual things that actual humans do. Not satire, not The Onion, not made up, but just weird and wacky human behavior. How about that?
I'll tune in.
There's nothing better, right, than humans just doing stupid things.
Absolutely.
And I have a feeling here at the RNC, we might get a couple of headlines out of it as the days progress. So he's going to be here in hour two. We have heard from Trigvi Olsen, and he is raising money for charity on the golf links, the golf courses up at River Falls. So He will not be able to join us live, but he sends his regards, and he'll be here on Monday to join us, along with a cast of characters and thousands. Stay tuned. We're going to come back to Wisconsin Media Row, live from Milwaukee at the 2024 Republican National Convention on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you worry, we'll all flown on. We'll
all right.
All flown on.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Republican National Convention has officially wrapped up in Milwaukee. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Friday. With former President Donald Trump leading President Joe Biden by 3 points in a recent CBS poll, the markets are reacting. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing says prices are reflecting Trump's possible return to office and what it could mean for tariffs.
Right now, obviously, the thought in the market's mindset that President Trump could be elected again. A little concern regarding the potential protectionism trade policies that, you know, he obviously brought during his first presidency term. You know, that's some of the things that's weighing on the commodity space in general, I think, here is, you know, what happens in terms of a trade war with China. You know, talk of the tariffs coming back in, you know, and that's something I think the market's just maybe pricing in a little bit here as well. You know, markets move on momentum, markets move on sentiment. And right now, a little bit of that is the sentiment in the marketplace. And if you look at the commodity sector in general, we're starting to see some things that are starting to show up, especially in those tradable commodities.
Market advisor John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. We'll take a look at what commodity prices are doing today in 60 seconds.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And Cleary Building Corp. Visit clearybuilding.com to see the Cleary difference. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Friday from Chicago, grain markets are seeing a little strength. Cash corn is up 2 cents at 393 and a quarter. December new crop corn is trading up 3 cents at 408 a bushel. Cash soybeans are trading up 3.5 at 1102 a bushel. And November new crop beans are up 2 cents at 1045 a bushel. Cash and new crop wheat is trading up 16 cents at 551 and a quarter. It's a different story for the Class 3 milk contracts. August milk is trading down 21 cents at 1996. A hundredweight. The September Class 3 milk contract is trading down 19 cents at $20.59 a hundredweight. There's a look at your midday commodity markets on a Friday. And don't forget, even on the weekends, you can keep up with us at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and summery today as high temperatures comfortably flirt with 80 degrees. Alongside calm winds, a few clouds build in this afternoon, but we stay dry. In fact, scattered showers and thunderstorm chances hold off until Sunday afternoon and roll into the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Uline is here for the hard workers, for the ones rolling up their sleeves, working round the clock, and getting the job done. You're dedicated to doing what it takes to keep a business growing. Uline is dedicated to helping you make that happen. Working 7 days a week, staying fully stocked and ready to ship any of our 41,000 items the same day. Uline, your shipping and industrial supply specialists. Visit uline.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to the Pewaukee Public Library about all the wonderful things going on there that you can take advantage of. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show, live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on Wisconsin Media Row, site of next week's Republican National Convention here in the beautiful city of Milwaukee. We are joined by an actual journalist here at the table here on site. Just people walking by, saying hello to friendly faces. We have Zach Schultz. He is Wisconsin Public Television's senior political reporter for the great program Here and Now. Zach, thanks for taking a moment to sit down here at the desk and chat a little bit.
Well, thank you. I was just coming by to say hi to an old friend, and all of a sudden I'm on the set.
Well, it's super that you took time to do this, and we just got done talking to Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch, who was kind of the instigator, the person that propelled this Wisconsin Media Row, the first time that we're aware of in any national convention where the state journalists have a place set aside for them. I know Wisconsin Public Television, because you're a bigger operation than places like us. You're down on kind of the main floor here and have a bigger booth.
Yes, that when we heard that this was being created, the first thing we did was say, we need a little larger space where we will want to be there. We would love to be with all the other state media operations because we feel we are part of all of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have the same mission. We want to speak with the same people coming by. And they said, what you're asking for is a little too large. So we're down on the main floor. We've got a nice setup. We're actually setting it up as we speak right now. Yeah. I'm useless in that capacity, so I was able to kind of wander around and ran into you. Yeah. But I wanted to check out the space since this is something that we've known about for a while, and I wanted to see how it came to life.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, and I just think it's really cool that, you know, Wisconsin journalists and people like myself, who I apply journalistic ethics to my show, but I'm a news talk opinion type of show. But I think it's great that people, you know, national delegates or whomever can say, hey, if I want to talk directly to people in Wisconsin, there is a general area to do that in.
Yes. And I think to me, the most exciting thing about this is it made the space affordable for the smaller outlets. Yes. Because I started in commercial television. I started in Wausau. So I know what the budgets are like there. And I know how difficult it would be for them to come and bring this to their audience if it wasn't for a space that was subsidized and made affordable for them to put people here when they're working on a much different budget than some of the other operations that are on the floor. You know, we're with all the national outlets down there in a different league when it comes to that.
No, it's super cool to have everybody here. I've never been, of course, in a former life being working in politics. I was at a number of state conventions, but never been to a national convention. Have you been to national conventions before?
I was in Tampa Bay in 2012.
Okay.
When Paul Ryan got added to the ticket at the last minute, they said, oh, we're going. And when I say last minute, I mean, our hotel was practically in the ocean. I mean, we were so far away. They were gracious enough to say, you're from Wisconsin, and right. We understand why you're coming in at the last minute. So they gave us credentials. It was an amazing experience. It was a complete lifetime in terms of how we did our jobs then. Mm. Everything was on tape. We actually had to FedEx the tape back to Wisconsin.
Wow.
So we could make our show on Friday. Wow. But just the experience of running around and there are all the people. And what was amazing about it was, you know, there's Tommy Thompson. Hey, he said, oh, I know you. You're from Wisconsin. Yeah, I'll give you 5 minutes. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without people saying Wisconsin was the center of the political universe at that time. And it was, we want to talk to anyone from Wisconsin.
So give us a sense. We're talking to Zach Schultz. He's a Wisconsin Public Television senior political reporter for Here and Now. Of course, Federica Freiberg, long outstanding anchor of that program. On Here and Now, as you come here to Milwaukee to cover this convention, what is the lens you're going to try to bring this event to your viewers through?
Well, our mission is we cover the state. Even though we are based out of Madison, since the day I was hired, they said, if all your stories come from a backyard, you're gone. Like, you have to be out and about. And so from the beginning, we've been thinking, what do people in Eau Claire, La Crosse, Superior, Green Bay, what are they going to want to hear from Milwaukee? People that maybe only have one impression of Milwaukee beyond the Brewers or the Lakefront, mm-hmm. what do they want to know what's happening in the state's largest city? So our mission has been to do that, and we're actually going to have reporters outstate to bring the story of what is it like for the convention to be in Milwaukee when you're not from there.
Yeah.
Does it feel the same? Do you take civic pride in that, or is it more of a, at least I don't have to deal with that traffic?
Right.
So we're going to have multiple reporters in Milwaukee all week long. We're going to be doing hour-long or half-hour-long live new live casts on the web with a couple of guests, and we're going to be doing some cut-ins for the PBS News Hour throughout the evening. We have an hour-long show set for Friday instead of our normal half-hour. We get permission to expand it because there's so much news to fit into that. Right. But part of that is to think beyond just downtown Milwaukee.
I think that's a great, and it's not dissimilar to, we kind of did reverse. So we did all of our shows this week. We started out in New Glarus at Bailey's Run Winery, and then we went to Wisconsin Dells and featured the Ducks, and we went up to Eau Claire and covered our Chippewa Falls, the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, and yesterday we were at River Falls at the 50th annual anniversary of River Falls Days, and just talking to people, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the show. It is a different feel. You know, I spent a little time in D.C., Milwaukee. I live in Madison. I think the great cities of Wisconsin, part of what makes Wisconsin great. But you get out from those kind of more neutral or centralized places, and there's an entirely different vibe. I'm not saying that people have completely different ideologies, but I think there's a different focus. And for me, it just feels, I don't know, I feel re-energized when I go out and talk to people. What do you feel when you travel around the state?
Yeah, politics hits in a different way. It is local first. They separate federal from local yeah. all the time. And you know this from your past, and I know that from stories I've done on that, where people split their tickets, and then why do they split their tickets? Yeah. What does that mean? And they talk about their local officials as a neighbor. Literally someone who came to the door that they've known from Little League or the grocery store. And that's completely different from someone like Tammy Baldwin, Eric Hovde, Tommy Thompson, or someone that they really only see through their screens or in commercials. So it does hit different, and it has a different sense, where sometimes the confusion comes and they don't understand the difference between how a federal policy differs from a state policy and how that affects them in their hometown. Mm-hmm. And there can be frustration. I mean, some of the stories we've reported on over the last year have had to deal with things like school referenda and how that's been impacted by policy decisions at the state level or at the federal level of whether the money flows down through. And so some people are having to decide between funding EMS and funding their schools, and they're making choices without really understanding that their votes in a state election impact those down the line. So a lot of those, some of those conversations come out, and sometimes it's just you want to listen to people without trying to teach. I mean, right. I'm open to answering a lot of questions, but sometimes people just feel the need to vent. If they hear you're from Madison, right. I'm sure you know this too. They just want to have yep. someone hear what they have to say, and sometimes that's my job, is just to listen.
I'll just touch on one specific topic. You hit on education, and that's something that Trigvi Olsen and I, as we traveled around the state this week and in former state tours we've done, there's so many folks in our state that feel their public schools are their community. It's where they go for their local sports, their music, their art, their band, these are the communities of our state. And I really feel that there is a disconnect between some, not all, but some politicians in Madison and what the rest of the state views are public schools. Have you found a similar type of in your reporting of people caring about their public schools?
Absolutely. And that is, I think the hardest thing is trying to translate votes at one level to votes and the impact on one level, because there are part of the stories that I did last fall had to do with, or last spring had to do with some of these referendums that were going on everywhere. And there were people that were represented by Republicans on Joint Finance who make those important spending decisions about how much money flows down to the local schools, who will vote for those politicians and then be frustrated when that doesn't lead to more money for their community yeah. schools. Because when those politicians show up at the school events, they say, I love public schools. I support everyone here. I hope we do well. And it's getting people to understand, well, those votes are connected. Like, you have a right as a voter who supports a public school in a local environment to ask your state representative, well, why doesn't that translate in your vote? And those are kind of the things that we're trying to educate people on, so that the disconnect disappears and they understand how they are empowered at a local level to impact more broadly than just a referendum.
Yeah. Talking to Zach Schultz from Wisconsin Public Television. He's the senior political reporter for Here and Now. This was just literally, I saw Zach, we said hi, I said, you want to hop on the air? So if you don't want to go down this road, I totally understand. I'll just say it's something that I, for my show and also civic media at large, we've talked about internally, how we cover this, because this is a unique event. We have a unique nominee, a convicted felon, someone who it was proven in the January 6th bipartisan committee helped to attempt an insurrection. I come here as a former Republican who went to a lot of state conventions, and you do the story about, oh, the woman who's been to 5 conventions and she wears the elephant pants, and oh, isn't that cute? To me, that just doesn't feel like that's the story here. To me, we had somebody who was trying to peddle today, wanted someone to come on the show, somebody who said that they were an attorney who wanted to prove that the January 6th people who have been convicted and are in jail are there illegally. That's just simply not a true story. That is a false story. Have you guys at Wisconsin Public Television and Here and Now talked about how you cover this event?
Yes. A lot of the conversations that we've had center around figuring out our own duty to our viewers. And we monitor what's happening at the federal level and the national level with political pundits, and they have a job. It's they have a different audience. They have a different responsibility. We don't feel obliged to do it in the same way. A lot of the dialogue that's happened in the last few weeks following the big debate has centered on things that we really haven't covered as much at the Here and Now level, because we're saying, well, if people want that discourse, they can find it elsewhere.
Right.
We have a different responsibility to bring that forth.
Sure.
Part of that comes with figuring out how we want to cover this convention is looking at how does Donald Trump affect who comes to the convention?
Mm-hmm.
Are there people like Dean Coffert, who is an old school moderate centrist Republican,
well,
was basically kind of pushed out of the state party, was elected mayor in the city of Neenah, and now he's possibly coming back into the state party. I'm hoping people like that show up. We've heard that Robin Voss apparently is going to get a ticket to be able to come in.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that one. There you go.
Not as an official delegate, but he'll have the ability to at least come into the ground. So I'm hoping he comes by here and he's able to talk to everyone, because he is someone that obviously has a tremendous amount of power in Wisconsin state politics. He has a connection with Donald Trump. He has changed his position multiple times on what he thinks about him, and I want to hear from him. What does it feel like to have this convention in Milwaukee? Part of the story we also want to look at is there are so many people around the state, Democrats and Republicans, who have desperately wanted to show off the state and the city to the country as we're big time.
Yes.
We can do this. Yes. We can host it. We deserve to be on this stage and can throw a great party. What is their reaction to having it be this candidate, this convention coming to town at this time? Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're watching is the protests. What happens? Right. Who shows up? Is there a U-Haul that shows up with a different kind of protest march? And we're going to have to address what does it mean that that is here in Milwaukee, and how does that interact with law enforcement, with other protesters, with the convention goers. And I don't think it'll have the same feel as it did in Tampa in 2012, where it was looking at, wow, isn't Wisconsin big time? We have all these big name politicians who are on the national stage. That was a different era in politics entirely, which I'm sure you can attest to.
You're absolutely right. I think that one of the other things, and all this is very fluid, and I know that Wisconsin Public Television, like Civic, or not dissimilar to Civic Media, we try to look at things through the lens of Wisconsin, and how does this affect Wisconsinites, and how might it in the future. But you look what's happening in the national stage here. We're at a national convention. Trump is going to announce his VP supposedly here in Milwaukee. You could, keyword could, we'll see how this all plays out. You could potentially have the Democratic nominee and sitting president announce he's either going to step down from the ticket, or all this is swirling at the same time. It's part of the excitement of why I love being in the news business and the media business, but it makes it very difficult sometimes to plan how you're going to cover all this.
Yes, we had big convention plans for 2020 when this was supposed to be the Democratic National Convention. Those obviously got scrapped. I didn't put away any of those story ideas. I kept them in a file on my computer, and I was happy to bring them back to life and see what still had legs in 2024. So when I say I've been planning for these kind of stories for 4 or 5 years, it's not an exaggeration. But at the same time, I know some of them that I've been working on for years could get scrapped at the last minute because something else comes up that is just monumentally bigger. And at the same time as that, all of those big stories will be covered by all the national outlets. So any one of our viewers that is going to watch the news hour, if they care that much, they're going to be watching the convention. They'll get everything they need from that panel. So that's not necessarily our first responsibility. Our responsibility is, well, what does that mean for Milwaukee? What does that mean for Wisconsin? What does that mean for the Wisconsin GOP or the Democratic Party of Wisconsin? And looking at it through that filter to remember who our audience is.
Yeah. Zach Schultz, he is the senior political reporter for Wisconsin Public Television's Here and Now. Zach, thank you so much for taking the time just on the spur of the moment. And I really hope that listeners and viewers of our show, look, Wisconsin Public Television is viewer-supported by and large. Go support them, because what you guys do, you and Federica, the entire team at Here and Now, is so important. I've seen it myself sitting there when I brought my bosses in for interviews. You have a great team there. You do great work, and it's really important work, the messages you bring to people in Wisconsin.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Hey, my pleasure. Zach Schultz from Wisconsin Public Television. Catch him all next week here in Milwaukee. Catch us on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We are live on location in Milwaukee at Wisconsin Media Row's Republican National Convention. It's the title Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are, as a matter of fact, in Milwaukee, the great city here, largest city, of course, in the state of Wisconsin. We are in Wisconsin's Media Row, getting set for the 2024 Republican National Convention. We thank Matt DeFoor of the Wisconsin Watch and also Zach Schultz of Wisconsin Public Television's Here and Now. I really appreciate them stopping by and really on the spur of the moment here, because both of them have been around a long time in Wisconsin media. Both of them know this state really, really well. And I hope it gave you just a little bit of a flavor from a journalism standpoint. Both of those guys are true journalists, how they're looking at this. And, you know, I don't think it's just over the top to say that there is a bit of trepidation here. From all journalists and all media, thinking, you know, we hope this is a safe event. We hope that things go smoothly. And we certainly wouldn't want anything, you know, tragic to happen. And hopefully it won't. But these are things that you also have to make contingency plans for and to know about anyway. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you'd like to call and be part of the show, I'd like to go to the phone lines. And Jack from Merrimack, Jack is joining us. Jack, thanks for calling in and listening. We always appreciate it. What have you got to say?
Well, first thing I think of is this convention is going to be full of crooks and liars. That's my opinion for what it's worth. But I think we can objectively say it's being led by a convicted criminal who's adjudicated rapist, defamer, financial fraudster, and who probably should have been sentenced a few days ago. It was only saved by our corrupt Supreme Court. The other people that are coming here are people who are apparently are perfectly okay with backing an attempted violent overthrow of a government. No doubt they will attempt to distance themselves from Project 2025, which is basically a blueprint for fascist-style authoritarian police state takeover of America. These guys, why Milwaukee wanted a convention, I can kind of understand that, but with these people, I am sorry. And by the way, I really, really like the work that you do, and I certainly will continue listening to you, but probably not this week, because I don't want to hear anything that's going to come out of that convention.
Well, I think that, Jack, and hang on for a second. Don't hang up, because I want your opinion on this. I think you bring up, I know you bring up a really important point that I've thought about a lot, and we talked about this at Civic Media. You know, there were questions about, should I even come here? Should we even do this show for all the reasons that you listed? I won't go through them again. But here's my point, and you give me your opinion on it. I know you'll be honest. I think it's important for our listeners and viewers for me to be here inside the convention hall so that I can report to you. You know, are people as crazy in the hallways when they're not on camera as they are when they are on camera? Are these all true believers? You know, what's the flavor here? Are they all drinking the Kool-Aid of Donald Trump and following the 34-time convicted felon and all the things you said? Or do they appear, you know, more reasonable off camera? And if so, why are they still following this person? Are there any more moderate Republicans left? I think those are all important things to bring to our listening audience. Do you agree, Jack, or disagree?
No, I wouldn't disagree with you on that. I understand your position and Civic Media's position. But I would really hope that Civic Media and any other of the legitimate media, and we're not talking about your friends at Newsmax that you mentioned earlier, but
they're not my friends. I just mentioned they were here on the floor. Go ahead.
The legitimate media need to do one thing, and that is they have to have real-time fact check on these people. I'm tired of being bombarded with lies, misinformation, and misdirection propaganda that is basically totally inaccurate. And what happened during the debate, absolutely no objections to it. That's just perfectly fine. Just keep spouting what you're spouting, and we'll just accept it. No, that's not acceptable to me.
I totally agree with you, Jack, and that's why I'm trying to be as diligent as I can. I'm not interested in having anybody sit in this seat next to me at our broadcast table and just give them a microphone for 5 or 10 minutes and talk lies. You know, I'm trying to make it more about the flavor of what's here and bring that to our listeners across Wisconsin. And we're also next week going to be reporting, talking to some of the national reporters here. And we're also going to be talking, hopefully, to some Republicans who aren't here and ask them why they're not here. And I think it's important to bring that story as well. So I think it's a really great call, Jack. And you bring up some excellent points. And that's why, you know, I'm going to ask you and the rest of our audience who is going to listen next week, you know, keep me honest here, because I don't want this to be a platform to just spread, you know, lies and mistruths. I want it to, as we say, pursue the truth wherever it may lead. It's led us to Milwaukee as we've been around the state all week. So great call, Jack. Really, really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And also to Zach Schultz's point as well, we're also going to try to bring you just some of the stories and the flavor of Milwaukee, because part of having national conventions, whatever party it is to give the people, the businesses, the city of Milwaukee a national platform to try and talk about, you know, actually what is going on. Matt, listening in on WMDX in Middleton, Wisconsin, says, quote, "I find the calm and complacent nature or style of reporting by our media and journalists is why we're in in this, I think. Their manner and attitude doesn't show the severity of the situation to the uninformed or uneducated, unquote. Matt, thank you so much for your text there from Middleton. That's another great point. And I know some of my colleagues, you know, we've been traveling around the state this week. We've touched on it a little bit. Some of my other colleagues, in particular, Jay Matinair, Greg Bach of Matinair On Air, Pat Kreitlow, have been talking a lot about Project 2025. We're going to talk about more of that as we go through next week as well. And again, try to hold people accountable. From my standpoint, I think that I try to present it in a way that, you know, dole it out in digestible pieces and try not to, because if you put it all on the table at once, sometimes that just kind of makes people say, are you for real? And yeah, unfortunately, Project 2025 is real, and it is pretty scary, but we'll sort it all out. Don't go anywhere. Hour two next on the All Ball Show live from Milwaukee on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
Friday night, we're back on Nightlight full-time and discussing Green Bay ghost tours with Tim Fries. And it's Friday, so our Friday friend Terry Barr will be on the show with new music and sparkling convo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
WFHR invites you to join David Farmbrough of Coldwell Banker Seaward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. The next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about topics that matter to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So if you're looking forward to welcoming David Farmbrough to the show and taking your questions, be sure to tune in every second Tuesday of the month right here on your locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.